I'm stuck in the chicken coop. Oh, man.
Entertaining, are you?
This is fantastic.
Uh-huh. There's a latch there so that it doesn't lock on me.
Hey, this is Jared.
Hey, friends. This is Annette, and this is our Azure Farm podcast, where we're going to talk about all things farm, family, home, and all things in between. We hope you enjoy it.
Hello, friends. We are here today, and I'm so excited to talk to you about something we got to do this past weekend. If you had not heard me talk about it already, we went to the Homestead Festival. This was the second one. There are other Homestead Festivals across the country. This one specifically is held by Rory Feek on his farm. He has a school on his farm. It's called Hardison Mill Farm School. And it's just such a cool place. And we were so honored.
South of Nashville.
South Columbia, of Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah. We were so honored to be asked to come and speak and just share. So we thought we'd give you just a little recap of the weekend, I guess it was, and some of the things we did there and chatted about and all of that stuff. So here we go. We left on Thursday. We drove with Ava. Ava was with us this time, which was fun for her to be, in this whole... It's a lot of people. How many people do you think were there?
I thought they said 4,000 or 5,000.
Yeah. So it's a lot of people. So yeah, Ava came with us. We drove. We got there on Thursday. We did a really fun speakers night, Thursday night, which is just where we all get together with all the different people that are presenting. And what's really cool is just everyone's talking about something different. There's beekeepers and there's herbalists and there's just all these wide variety of things, all with the same common goal of just sharing their experience and what they do. And it was pretty cool. We got to speak three times. Well, really two times.
Three.
And then on the third, we were on a panel with two other married couples talking about marriage and the homestead. Maybe we should talk about some of the things we talked about there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was cool. Oh, something happened when we were on that panel. Do you want to say?
Okay, so basically, someone listening here, you're hardcore. You're more hardcore than Annette and I, and we love you. And then there's somebody who's... You're like, well, I'm curious about this idea of living off the land and all this stuff. So you got all these different types of people, and that's the case at this festival.
Oh, totally.
And so last year, we did some question and answer. We're big fans of present something and then leave it open for questions and answers, and that's when it gets really fun. Well, last year, we dropped a bomb and said something, and people were like, well, say what? Hold on, I'll tell you more of that. So on this panel, this year kind of, the panel was the third thing. And so the first two talks, we were like, we're not really going to share about that detail because it seems that it throws people off. And we just want to stay on mission, on brand here and keep talking. So the panel comes, and our good friend Rebecca is interviewing the panel. So she's pitching questions to everyone. And Rebecca and a few others came to visit us a few months ago.
Yeah.
And came to our house, and it was super fun. And
Rory came over, and yeah, it was so nice to have them.
She's like the coolest teacher around, and they have this school that like has a umpteen people waiting list. State-of-the-art school. So cool. Right in the middle of the farm. So neat. All right. So Rebecca's pitching everyone questions. Then she gets to Annette and I on this question. She goes, okay, so Annette and Jared, you guys are a little unique. You're plant-based. And then Annette and I hear,
we are not exaggerating. You heard an audible gasp.
Yeah. Like, as if we just said, I murder people for a living. That's a sport I do.
It was like,
you do what?
You don't eat meat?
And so it
was... Because I would say, in a lot of the homesteading community... A lot of what you do is you learn how to raise your own animals for meat, for food. It's kind of part of the homestead movement.
Absolutely. And it's and just because I come at it from, I'm always a fan of using different words to describe stuff. So it's like when you hear homesteading, a lot of people hear fully self-sustaining. I don't have to leave my property. I have all the carbs I need, all the protein I need, all the water I need, all the honey I need. you name it, and the thought is fully self-sustaining. That's obviously, in a perfect world, that's absolutely the case. But for so many people, they're on levels of that scale. Well, I think in much of the world, the thought is you need animal protein to stay alive. All right. So, and for the most part, that's true for a lot of people, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So we recognize that. So we already know, like, yeah, we're a little strange. We live on a farm. We got all these animals. It wouldn't be so strange if it's like, we're gardeners. Yeehaw. But it's like, people see all these pictures and videos like, what in the world they do with all these animals and birds? And I mean, you just got, we're like a zoo around here. Well, then when you tell people we're plant-based, it's just like strange. It's like, yeah. I don't understand.
It's strange in that world. I don't think it's strange in like other circles.
Sure.
But we don't run in those circles.
Yeah. Let me say what I said.
Oh, yeah.
So I basically said, that is true. You have outed us. And so a lot of people, there's a few reasons people eat plant-based. And a lot of times people will call themselves a vegan. Well, vegans, to the purest sense, don't even eat honey. That's not Annette and I. There are reasons, particularly three reasons, people stop eating meat and or animal products. Number one is the belief in animal welfare and rights,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah.
That's the number one reason. I worked for a company a few years ago and I would do these demos and events and I would ask people, what's your reason for eating like this? Number one across the board, animal welfare. Number two, increasingly so, is environment sustainability reasons. Okay. Number three is personal health reasons, which is pretty much a small segment. I think it's a growing segment, but it's a small segment. Well, our reason is the health reason. So then I had to answer, just to, I think, give a little clarity so that people didn't think, oh man, he hates all the rest of us who process our own chickens and process mm-hmm. our own.
Yeah, not at all.
It's like, no, not at all. So I had to explain, like, we respect people that grow their own, raise their own animals, and you use those for food. You know how you've raised them. You know what you've fed them. And we totally get it. Like, no harm, no foul.
I have no issue with that.
We're not like mad at you or wanting to come like cut down your fences and let your animals escape. That is a sect of society.
Sure.
That's not us. So I think after I explained that, people were like, okay, these people aren't our enemies now. But it was quite funny because, you know, it's different.
Yeah, it's different. One thing I will say that I think was nice is that when I first met Rory last year and we spoke at the Homesteading Festival last year as well, he actually felt like it was such a unique thing that we were plant-based, but it's a really good angle in the homesteading world, not necessarily to say that, you know, you need to like stop eating meat, but that you can homestead without doing the animal part of it or the animal like processing part of mm-hmm. homesteading. You don't have to raise your animals for meat. You can actually raise them to serve other purposes on your farm. And honestly, if you just homestead, if you just garden, if you do anything to be more self-sustaining, you're a homesteader.
That's right.
I saw a comment the other day, someone posted on someone's thing on Instagram and it kind of made me sad. And they said, I only have 2 acres of land, so not a true homesteader, but I still garden, you know, da 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 da. And I was like, what? So I replied to her and I said, the fact that you are gardening and you are doing any of those things means you're a homesteader. Homesteader is not defined by owning a certain amount of acreage or by doing XYZ. And I think that's what is nice about events such as the Homestead Festival, because you get to just see how many things you can do and, like, you know, expose yourself to all these things you could learn to do to be more self-sufficient. So I felt like it was such a nice weekend because you're like with your people.
Yeah, it was very much that.
Like just, oh, some of the just conversations we had and just connecting with some of you and being able to share and, oh, I don't know. It was just a wild thing where everyone automatically knows what you're talking about when you're like, oh, this happened in my garden. And they're like, I know. Or, you know, my chicken's this. Or, you know, it's just like this camaraderie that's almost unspoken that you just, I know, you know, kind of thing that you don't get. You know, at least for me, I'll say I don't have that in my everyday life We come from all walks of life, all different backgrounds. We've done all sorts of different things in our lives. So some of our friends and family might not be in that world and understand what it is we do or why on earth we do this homesteading type life. So it was just so cool to meet you and share stories. It's just, yeah, it was the highlight.
Yeah, we met, let's see, I'm thinking of this one couple we met who actually doesn't live far from us here in Georgia. And they basically said, you know, we moved to this area and we really haven't found any like-minded people. We'd love to somehow connect. So I told them, like, hey, man, let's see if we can get lunch and get everybody together. But it shows you that it's still a small segment of society that sees the value of not running as fast in the rat race, slowing life down a little bit, and finding ways to get on the path of self-sustenance or homesteading or country living or whatever you want to call it, which is not a, unless you're a level 10, you're not a real person. I think that was a great point, Annette. Like, people need to know, like, hey, if you grow a tomato in a pot on your porch in a sky rise, you are on the path.
So I know people that live, have said they live in New York City. So that's a sky rise, right? Or a,
yep.
You know, and they have rabbits and they compost their rabbits like poop to use it in their little balcony garden. And they just, I mean, it's just like they're doing like just all these things.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's just like, why? I actually, one of my main things, I wouldn't say it's a regret because I don't necessarily look back on it as like a true regret. But one thing I do wish I would have done more of before we moved out here is some of these things like learning food preservation, gardening more. Just, you know why? Because honestly, it just makes you a happier, healthier person, period. So you should be doing these things no matter where you are, just, you know, starting. Oh, I have a story.
Simple. Okay.
This couple I met, they were so kind, and I love their story so much because they are an example of that to me. And they're at the Homestead Festival. They live in a neighborhood. They live in a neighborhood in a cul-de-sac, and they have turned their backyard, which is not a huge amount of space, into this garden like oasis. It's bonkers back there. They are growing so much food. She told me her daughter was diagnosed with cancer. And that she was so happy she was growing such wonderful, organic, nutrient-dense food to feed her daughter while her daughter was going through all this trial. And her daughter's much better now.
Wow.
So they're growing all this stuff in their neighborhood, right? And then they're like telling all their neighbors about it. So they're trying to get all the neighbors to start gardening. So it's like a HOA thing, like, hey, let's all do, you know, let's all do this together. And it's like, why can't we do more of that? You know, I think... Oh, I was just so inspired after this weekend to try to just share more and just tell people, like, you got to do something, you know, just do something. It's so much better for you. I think I honestly believe we were created to be outside and we spend so much time indoors, you know, I'm guilty too. Sometimes on my computer, on my phone, when it's like, get outside, breathe some fresh air.
So I got a story. I met this couple and they pulled me over after one of our seminars and they're like, hey, so, you know, what are ideas on how to build community? You know, how do you find these people? And at first I was like, man, how do you answer this question? So I started asking some questions and it started to just come to realize, like, you put two and two together, their friends they had before COVID, they're not really sure they were their friends. Because after COVID and having some different views of how things were addressed, it's like, yeah, they don't really hang out with us anymore. So we're trying to look for people. And as I started asking more questions, I'm like, these folks were very wealthy, like yachts and all the toys and all the lifestyle. And my encouragement to them was, you know what? You may need to find people because they're all about this lifestyle now. They're like, no better place for us than the garden. We just love being outside. And we had all these things. I said, why don't you reach out to people that may not be in your socioeconomic class? Maybe they won't be in their 60s like you, and maybe they don't look like you. You might find those are your people now, because sometimes in life, your people change. And it was like, they were so like refreshed, like, yeah, you know what? we're going to try that.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes maybe we have a little bit of guilt, like trying to cling on to like friendships or relationships that maybe aren't the same as it used to be. And you know what? It's okay sometimes to find a new group of support. Mm-hmm. I shared a story, which I've shared before, so I'll share the very short version of when we hatched our little duck Milo. We threw away a bunch of eggs. It was like in the back of the truck in the hot sun.
In a trash bag.
Literally in a trash bag. And it hatched Milo, the duck. He was alone. Jira goes to Tractor Supply, gets him chicken. Chicken is a white leghorn hen. She is nothing special. But her and Milo grew up together because we had no other ducklings or anything at the time. And it was so cool to see these two animals that looked completely different. He was a male, she was a female. They're, you know, one's a duck, one is a chicken. Just be best friends, like out in the field every day, following each other. At night, she would roost up on the bar. He would sleep right under her on the ground. And just to see. And so it's like, find your community. And like you said, it might look different than you. It might be not what you're thinking.
Might be 30 years younger or 30 years older than
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, community back in the day, you know, families used to live closer together, friends. And so you were friends with a wide range of ages, and the old, the young would be together. You would learn from each other, just all these things. I don't think we necessarily have that same kind of community anymore. It's a little bit separated now and with age and I don't know, all these things. But I think your people.
Yeah, I think it's in the judgmental world we live in. The people don't really know how to be themselves. I made a comment in one of the seminars. We all are craving to be fully known and fully loved. That some people love us, but they don't really know us. Mm-hmm. And some people know us and they don't love us. But boy, if somebody fully knows and fully loves you, like, that's your people.
Yeah.
And you gotta be vulnerable to be willing to put your neck out.
Which I guess we should talk about being plant-based because we can be fully loved.
Yeah,
no matter what. So I don't know. Maybe we need to apply that to ourselves. I mean, I talk about it. We talk about it here, and you know, I think it's just in front of like 600 people staring at you that gasp. Yeah. Oh no! But really, though, this weekend was about community, and it felt great to have that community and be around that community. So I encourage you, if you don't have it, it might take time, and your community might be someone you meet online and is far away. Like, for example, I met one of my friends, Angela, online. We did a cookbook together, and I didn't even meet her for the first like 2 years we were talking, but she was someone that I bonded with. Like, we have children a similar age. We both, you know, garden. We both just do all, we were both plant-based, but we homestead as well. And so that was somebody I connected with, and we message each other and talk all the time, like, hey, what are you doing with your garden? What are you doing with this? You know, and it's just nice to have community. We did not end up meeting in person in real life till a couple years after we started chatting. So it doesn't mean it has to be someone right next door. Obviously, it's nice to have face-to-face, and in this world of screens, it is nice to have a, you know, actual conversation with someone. But if that's not available to you in the immediate moment, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, find your community, and yeah, or attend the Homestead Festival next year too.
That's right.
If you're around, it's in Tennessee, so if you're on the southeast, although there were people there from California, from Montana, from I don't know, everywhere, Michigan, up Maine, well, you name it, there was just a lot of really wonderful, wonderful people. So if you came and said hi to us, thank you. If you came and supported us and attended our talks, I hope they were helpful to you. And we hope to maybe share, Jared and I have been talking about how maybe we can try to, I don't know, do a little more with like the subjects we spoke on, to offer more of that information to others as well, because I do think what we shared on was helpful. So we'll see. But yeah. Find your people.
Find your people.
All right, we will be back next time. Thank you for listening.